Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to CEMA Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Balasubramanian from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shubham. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital, I welcome you to the earnings of CEMA Limited Q3 FY26 con call. From the management side today, we have Mr. Navin Mukta, Whole-time Director, Mr. Vinay Kumar Agarwal, CFO, and Mr. Sunil Gupta, Vice President, Strategy and Investor Relations. We welcome the management of CEMA on this call. Now, I invite Mr. Navin Mukta, sir, to give his opening remarks, following which we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Bala. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of CEMA Limited, I extend a warm welcome to all the participants joining us today for our Q3 and nine-month financial year 26 earnings call. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. On the industry front, India continues to strengthen its global partnership across the energy value chain. As highlighted by our Honorable Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi, India's position as the world's fastest growing economy is driving sustained growth in energy consumption, positioning the country as a key destination for a long-term energy investment. As part of the government's $100 billion investment push, India has significantly liberalized its exploration and production framework. Additionally, the government is working to expand the country's refining capacity from 260 MMTPA to 300 MMTPA, further reinforcing India's strategic importance in global petroleum production market. From a global perspective, the CEO of ADNOC Abu Dhabi has projected that oil demand is expected to remain above 100 million barrels per day till 2040, underscoring the long-term relevance of offshore and energy infrastructure services. The last week witnessed several significant developments across the oil and gas sector. Indian Oil Corporation announced plans to increase its annual refining capacity to 98 million tons from the current 80 million tons over the next 18 months. Further, ONGC and Reliance Industries Limited have entered into a memorandum of understanding to share offshore resources, including offshore supply vessels and logistics, aimed at improving operational efficiency in exploration and production activities. For CEMEC, Q3 was a landmark quarter marked by the highest ever vessel deployment in the company's history. This operational performance translated into our best ever quarterly revenue and profitability. During the quarter, we completed the turnkey revamping of ONGC's Neelam 9 platform well ahead of schedule. And in vessels, CEMEC 3 sailed for commencement of the second phase of the pipeline replacement project and DSF 2 project effective 25th December 2025. And in recent developments, CEMEC Agastya has commenced the operation with ONGC through HAL Offshore following the successful completion of its dry docking. And CEMEC Paladin sailed to Dubai for its statutory dry docking, expected to last approximately 70 days. In summary, this was our strongest quarter to date, reflecting disciplined execution, improved asset utilization, and a favorable industrial environment. We remain confident of sustaining growth momentum yearly. Thank you for your continued trust and support. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Vinay Agarwal, our CFO, who will take you through a detailed overview of our financial performance for the Q3. Over to you, Vinay.
Thank you,
Ravindji.
Good afternoon, everyone. I warmly welcome all participants to our Q3 and 9 month FY26 earnings call. I will take you through the key highlights of our standalone and consolidated financial performance for the third quarter and the 9 month period ended FY26. Financial performance for Q3 FY26. On a consolidated basis, revenue for the quarter stood at Rs. 331 crores compared to Rs. 139 crores in Q3 FY25, reflecting a YOY increase of 138%. At the standalone level, revenue is Rs. 317 crores as against rupees 133 crores, increase of 139% in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. EBITDA at the consolidated level is rupees 150 crores in Q3 FY26 compared to rupees 34 crores in Q3 FY25 on a standalone basis. EBITDA stood at rupees 144 crores versus rupees 36 crores in Q3 FY25. The highest ever vessel deployment contributed to an exceptional performance including the quarter. Profit after tax on a consolidated basis stood at rupees 100 crore compared to a loss of rupees 3 crore in the same quarter last year. At the standalone level, that is rupees 101 crore versus rupees 2 crore in Q3 FY25. Now I take you through to the financial performance of 9 months for FY26. For the 9 month period, consolidated revenue stood at rupees 670 crore compared to rupees 473 crore in 9 months FY25, reflecting an increase of 42% year-on-year basis. At the standalone level, revenue for 9 months FY26 is rupees 631 crore as against rupees 452 crore in the corresponding period and registered a growth of 40%. Consolidated EBITDA for 9 months FY26 is rupees 285 crore compared to rupees 153 crore in 9 months FY25. On a standalone basis, EBITDA stood at rupees 269 crore versus rupees 159 crore in 9 months FY25. PAT for 9 months FY26 at the consolidated level is rupees 150 crore compared to rupees 47 crore in 9 months FY25. At the standalone level, PAT is rupees 155 crore compared to rupees 57 crore in the same period last year. ROCE and ROE stood at 15% and 16% at the consolidated level respectively. With continued support from our stakeholders, we remain confident about strengthening our performance in the years to come. With that, I would like to open the floor for question and answer. Thank you. Over to you, Bala.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use answers while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Abu Rafi from Wealth Catalyst. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity, sir. I have few questions. So my first question is, our charter rates are currently at the highest levels we have seen so far. Could you share your perspective on how these rates are likely to trend over the next 2 years? Do you see the current strength as sustainable or do you expect some normalization?
So on the charter rates, right now as a company management, we feel that the environment is going to remain quite steady and the rate what we are getting is going to sustain for some more time. And as if you have gone through our revenue mix, most of the contracts, some of the contracts are for long-term charter rates and some are in the short-term contracts. So there is going to be a steady visibility of the revenue and rate will be going to be steady over a period of time.
Okay, all right, sir. So my next question is, in the previous communication, management has indicated that Anand would be deployed by 1st of February. Could you please provide an update on the current status of deployment?
So we are also, we are till now in the process of acquiring the vessel. All received approval from shareholder and the board of directors of both the companies are in place. And we are hopeful to complete this acquisition within this financial year and vessel will be deployed in Q1 FY27.
Okay, so my final question is, historically, we have seen some quarters with exceptionally strong performance, followed by relatively weaker quarters. How should we look at the next few quarters? Do you expect earnings to remain more stable going forward?
See, we always tell our investors while we are in the process of consolidating business. But this is a business where investors should look on year-to-year growth, then quarter-to-quarter. There might be times when a vessel is off hire because of dry dock, or a vessel is out of business because of changeover of contract. This may have some anomalies. While our endeavor is to gain more and more business of IMR, which will streamline the quarter, but I would appreciate that investors look PMAX growth on a yearly basis.
Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Rahul Jain from Abhinandan Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Hi, I had a quick question to better understand the charter rate differences across the fleet. Even after accounting for Augusta's longer 5-year tenure and utilization certainty, I was curious about the technical or commercial factors that explain the large gap versus Porsche's $75,000 day rate. Similarly for Anant, despite being a new vessel, what factors drove the 45K per day charter? Are these differences mainly related to scope of work versus specifications, contract structure, or market conditions at the time of fixing?
See, your question itself contains the answer. It is the rate for each and every contract is a different rate, and it all depends upon the factor that the way you have spoken. So, Swordfish is a vessel which has got a better capabilities than Anand. So, thereby it is fetching a higher rate. It is a trainage-wise, it is accommodation-wise, it is bigger than the Anand. And that was the reason is that it is getting a better rate compared to Anand. Similarly, the vessel which are operating in India, for Anand, which is a brand, which is a younger vessel, that agreed, the charter rate is more, while for vessel which are older, charter rate is slightly less. So this is all a mix of various factors.
And also the scope. So and in some vessels, the scope will be higher and the rate will be higher, and some vessels, part of the scope will not be in our book and therefore the rate will be lower.
Plus, risk perception is also there. So wherever chances of off-fire or these things are more, so rate will be accordingly varied.
All right. Thank you so much. That answers my question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Amish Kanani from Novice Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, congrats on the set of numbers, sir. Sir, after acquiring the vessels and deploying it, our numbers are growing. The question is, for next year, will there be a year of consolidation, sir, or we are still looking for some growth in terms of acquisition and grow because opportunities are quite a bit there? And if we are planning for growth, are we doing looking at some inorganic acquisition or organic growth that we are planning? How do we use the surplus that is getting generated? Are we going to use it for debt reduction or for growth? Thanks.
See, first of all, next year will be a year of growth because we expect the Swordfish to continue working full year. This year it was part of the year. We are also adding Agastya and Anant, as we mentioned in the previous discussion. So all these new vessels will give us more business and will definitely give us growth. Management is conscious that we have to bring growth to our shareholders. So definitely there will be growth. As of now, we are thinking of growth only this is the asset that we have, except for Anant, which will be added in Q4. Okay. Second, the cash flow that is used, that is generated will be used for acquiring growth assets. Like in Anand, definitely we will be paying from our internal accruals to a major extent. And whatever money is left over will be used for reduction of debt. However, just to mention, today also our net debt is zero or minus, I would say.
Sure, sir. All the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rohan Banwar from Trinetra Investment Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My question is on the overseas subsidiary size, which has contributed to the consolidated growth. Can you break down the revenue and profitability for CMAC International, FZB, and then the shipping exit fee and CMAC UK investment, sir?
Yeah, I'll take that question, Vinay.
Okay.
So in Dubai, we have a subsidiary that is operating one vessel. The revenue for the quarter from that was 15 crore. So major addition between CMAC and overseas is that only. In terms of the profitability, there were certain expenses on subsidiary. So there was an overall net impact of around 2 crore negative impact. If you would have witnessed our yearly details of the last 2-3 years, you would have seen that there has been a conscious effort to reduce any negative impact in overseas business and consolidate our core business.
Got it, sir. Got it. My next question is, when can we expect CMAC Anand, which will be deployed, and when can we expect revenue contribution from it?
As Vinay mentioned, Q1 next year, we are expecting CMAC Anand to be deployed and revenue to start.
Okay. And and around 1,000 crore of MOU with DG Shipping has been done. What specific vessel types or capacity are being considered under this MOU? And how will this funded debt, equity or lease? And what is the expected timeline for the final approval and deployment?
Naveenji, can you take the first part? I'll take the second.
I will. So this MOU which we have signed with DG Shipping is our focus to expand our capabilities and assets. So this MOU we have signed, where we have committed an investment of almost like 1,000 crore over a period of next 2 or 2-3 year period. This is toward our targeted acquisition of one or more vessels during the next 2-3 years. And for the funding and all these things, it will be decided on case-to-case basis. Once we zero in on the acquisition, at that point of time, we will take the best possible decision whether it should be funded entirely through the internal accrual or a mix of both will be there.
Got it, sir. And sir, like the DG Shipping norms may force the retirement of older vessels. So even if economically viable, what is the latest communicated timeline for older vessels and what is the plan for its replacement or phase out?
So as far as the latest guideline from DG Shipping are concerned, the majority of the vessels which CMAC is operating, which are called driving support vessels, they have been kept out of the purview of the age norms. So technically, there is no age criteria restriction for operating the vessels in India for us. But as a prudent operator, we will continue to decide whether it is better to operate the older vessel or better to put them for recycling and then buy the newer vessel. So our endeavor will always be to optimize the return for all the stakeholders and all the decisions will be taken accordingly.
Got it. So that answers all of my questions. I will get in the queue till the next questions arise for me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one.
Hi, can you in the meantime say something?
Yes, sir, you want to see.
Yeah. So I just wanted to highlight to our investors that this quarter has been exceptionally well. There were one factor which is important that there was a vessel Goodman which was owned by HAL Offshore. and the contract was taken in CMAC as we had a commitment with our investors that we will try and build most of the new businesses in CMAC only. Okay. This has given us a benefit of almost upwards of 22 crores in the quarter. So this was kind of an exceptional business that the management has been able to secure in Q3. Secondly, in Q4, one of our IMR contract vessel, which is CMAC Paladin, is on a dry dock for 2 months. So we will see lesser revenue and profitability to that extent. Therefore, I was mentioning that investors should not look on quarterly basis, but our endeavor is that yes, on a year-to-year basis, we should definitely bring growth to the CMAC P&L and balance sheet.
A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Deepali Kumari, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Ms. Kumari, you may proceed with your question. As there is no response from this participant, we move towards the next participant. The next question comes from the line of Amish Kanani from Novise Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So last quarter we had a breakdown of one of our vessels, and you know we couldn't deploy it for the fourth quarter, and there were some concerns about if at all you know client is not happy and you know kind of asking for some optimization or damages or whatever you want to kind of say. So if you can give us some sense of whether client is okay and or should we expect some kind of compensation that we may have to pay them, and you know should we incorporate that in the fourth quarter year end kind of numbers. Thanks.
Naveen.
So Amish, yes, of course there was some breakdown of some vessel in the last quarter, and as part of this operational this thing is concerned, all our vessels are required to they operate on 24/7 basis. You will appreciate these are all our machinery, so there will be some breakdown of one equipment or other all through the contract duration and through the quarter. It is only when it gets stressed only then there is a area of concern. However, the breakdown which you are referring to for the last quarter, that has been addressed, and there has been never any kind of concern from the client, because client also understands that since it is a machinery and it is prone to breakdown, so those kind of issue may happen, and they do happen with everybody. Yeah, concern will be when there is a recurring breakdown, or they consider that okay, the maintenance of the vessel is not up to the mark. So those kind of things has never happened with us, and whatever the breakdown has happened, that has been addressed, and right now all the vessels are working good.
Which itself denotes that the client is happy, and because that vessel has performed during the quarter for the full.
So no issues in the existing quarter.
Naveenji, his second question was on part of any compensation or any provision. Maybe you or Vinayji can answer that.
So as far as this off-air period and all those things are there, we have been discussing with the client. But there is no vice versa kind of thing that client putting any kind of penalty on us.
Okay. Thank you.
And sir, do we have the insurance which normally covers such kind of events, sir? Is it part of our normal insurance coverage, or these are all things that we have to kind of incorporate that as part of someone off if at all it comes in future?
No, since these are very high value kind of charter rates, so these are not normally covered by insurance company, or even if covered, the insurance premium is quite huge. So going by our own experience, that's what when we are bidding or when we are quoting the rate, some kind of risk element is added into that rate. So we work on that basis, because otherwise we are going to go the insurance, then premium is very huge for those kind of things.
So we should take this as a portfolio of assets that we are deploying, and sometimes such thing happens, we have to incorporate
yeah.
that as a part of
yeah.
Ongoing business.
Yeah, so as part of our contingency, we can keep some margin for breakdown.
Sure. Thanks a lot, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Deepali Kumari, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Firstly, thank you for letting me ask the question. My question is, as I can see, strategic shift towards IMR contracts as a driver of higher margins. What is the current IMR versus EPC revenue mix, and what target mix is CMAX aiming for over the next 3 to 5 years?
Hi, Deepali. So, we are inclined to put ourselves to the IMR contract. Reason being, in that contract, we are getting deployment for the whole year. So, there is no off-hire period, the monsoon also. But, just to keep our portfolio driver, we have kept 2 vessels for offshore to spot market, which are catering to the EPC business. And as a normal feature of this EPC business, they are not working in a monsoon period, but they are providing a good top line. So they are not that much of
revenue. Let me explain to her. Deepali, see, any new business or any new asset that is acquired is assumed on an IMR contract, because see, these vessels are high value assets. Okay. As you also said, and investors understand that IMR gives higher margin. So these vessels become profitable only when we put on IMR. However, Vinayji just said we have 2 vessels of older vintage which are working on EPC. Since these assets are on zero value in our book, any business that they add helps us improve our ROC, ROE, and getting more profitability to the bottom line. I hope we answered your question well.
Yeah, okay. And my next question is, how much CapEx estimated for Agastya and Anand vessels? What is the funding mix if there is any debt? Or what is the repayment plan and interest cost?
Vinayji?
Which is expected, of course.
Yeah.
In case of Agastya, the latest acquisition for our fleet, this vessel was acquired for a cost of $23 million in a mix of internal sources plus debt which we have acquired is 150 crore, which will be repaid over a period of 8 years in quarterly installments. So far as Anand is concerned, again, we are funding it through mix of own funds and term loan in a 50-50 ratio. And again, this term loan will be acquired for a tenor of 5 to 8 years. And tenor we will decide exactly at the time of disbursement. But we are very hopeful both the loans we will prepay with the internal accrual. With the deployment of both these vessels, our accrual will be higher, and we are hopeful to repay both these loans within a period of 3 to 4 years.
Also, if you see, our debt equity ratio and debt EBITDA is very healthy. So, keeping some debt on the balance sheet does not hurt us.
Okay, sir, got it. Yeah. My next question is, can you give me the detailed operational update for all the vessels apart from CMAX Aladdin? And are all the vessels under a high utilization?
Naveenji, a quick snapshot?
Yeah. Dipali, normally if there is any kind of breakdown or offer is there, which is going to affect the revenues materially, they are all intimacy to stock exchanges. So you will know about it if there is some any kind of deviation is there. Rest all you need to presume that okay, all the vessels are working. Having said that, I will just tell you right now, that our vessels CMAX 2, CMAX 3, CMAX Princess, CMAX Glorious, CMAX Diamond, CMAX Agastya, all these vessels are working currently, and even CMAX Swordfish. Currently only CMAX Paladin is under going dry dock repair, so she is expected to be back by March end.
I hope that answers your question.
Yes, sir. My next question is, ONGC secured 7 of 10 blocks in OALG 8. How does MIMAS plan to capitalize on this increased exploration activity? Are there any tenders or contracts already in the pipeline?
So, if you the block which is being acquired by ONGC, they will undergo now the process of extracting crude. It is going to be a long run process, and it will take anywhere around 4 to 6 years to commercialize the extraction from those blocks. Only then the scope for us will arise for our kind of vessel. So immediately there is no upside for us in that way. But of course, the more the increased exploration activity, the more exploration takes place, is good for the company's business.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks for all the answers.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The next question comes from the line of Pratham Agarwal from Nova RV. Please go ahead.
Hello. First of all, sir, congratulations on good set of numbers.
Except
from CMAX Palladium, is there any other ship stated to go for dry dock in this quarter? And which are the ships which are stated to go for dry dock in FY27?
So in this quarter, there are one more vessel, CMAX Diamond, which is a smaller vessel, which is a supply vessel, is planned to go for a dry dock. So that is that call. So Palladium and CMAX Diamond are the only vessel which will be under dry dock during this quarter.
Okay, so and for FY27?
And FY27, then there will be another three vessels which will be undergoing the dry dock.
Which should be those
three? Those vessels will be going in dry dock during the monsoon period.
Mm-hmm.
So there is very less chances of disruption in revenue for those vessels.
So if I'm right, is it CMAX 3, CMAX Princess, and CMAX Glorious?
Yeah, these three vessels.
Okay, thank you so much for your answer, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Zoeb Rashid from Swinglist. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask, why is the acquisition of Anand taking so long? We just, first time we mentioned it 1 year ago, I guess in Q3 of FY25. And, I mean, why is it taking so long when we just have to transfer it from our parent? And this one first.
See, so, Sunil, you are taking?
Yeah, I'm taking.
Okay.
So see, there are a number of approvals that were required. First, it had to go through board approval. It had to go to shareholder approval. Then we had to take ONGC approval. We have recently in October, November got shareholder approval for announcement of limit for related party transaction, because as you know, this vessel is already chartered by HAL to ONGC. All these situations have delayed the process to some extent, but now we are confident that we should be able to close this in Q4, and by Q1 we should be deploying it.
Okay. And the other vessels which we, you know, get contract in a parent company, HAL, but we get contract in CMAX. So do we have to pay some royalty to the parent as such?
No, so basically there is a revenue share, and some part of the scope is done by parent company and some part of the scope is done by CMAX. As I just mentioned, this Goodman vessel was parent's owned vessel. So typically this vessel could have been deployed by the parent in altogether. But since we now interact with investors and we believe that we have to create value for investors, this contract was taken by CMAX. The vessel was taken on rent from HAL Offshore, and CMAX performed and earned exceptionally well in Q3 by marginally paying to HAL Offshore for the rentals that we use the vessel for. And going forward also, we believe that as and when the new contract will be coming, we will be trying to bid them in CMAX and increase CMAX share of business, and gradually HAL Offshore business will decrease by the expiry of the contract.
Okay. And just, you know, after, you know, having Anand, we said that it will be also going in dry dock. So, will it be before the quarter one of financial year 2027?
Navinji?
No. Anand, we have not said that Anand will go for the dry dock.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't know what is not due now, even in this quarter or for the next year.
Okay. Thank you. That's answers my.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bala Subramaniam for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Sir, any final closing remarks from your side?
We have done this quarter exceptionally well. We plan to close the year also good, and we thank you, our investors, in having faith in us. We believe CMAX has a lot of potential to grow in years to come. And we will take most of the opportunities to grow for our investors and other stakeholders. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.